let's. So we are very, very short. Okay, very short. Let's see. Maybe I'll tell you some other things about Bris Milah from another sefer. Let's see. Oy Slamet Aleph. Okay, the first thing over here is when you got the Bris Milah. It's on page 94. Oy Slamet Aleph. Simureish Samachay. The Avi Aben, he has to appoint. Lechatchila, he should appoint the mole to be his messenger. Oy Min Alamoy Lohidia Shuluchay. Vafilu im Mikoydim Tzivaloy Lamol. Even if you hired him, okay, you call him up and you say, I want to reserve you for the milah. You hire him. You send a messenger. You should stand near the mold of Hamamila. The Hamilahu Kein Karban. Milah is a form of a sacrifice. The Sandik, his legs are equivalent to the Mizbeach. All the Mefarshim say that, the idea, the concept that the legs of the Sandik are like a Mizbeach. Kein Karban, Kid Isa Bemedrish. Vayikra, Mishpat Adam, Mishpat Behema Shaveh. Adam, the Mishpat of man and the Mishpat of Behema are equal. What do we mean? Adam, Uveyoim Hashmini Yimol, Behema, Umeyoim Hashmini Vahola, Yerotzel Le Karban. Just like when it comes to an animal, you're not allowed to use an animal as a carbon until 8 days have passed. Umeyoim Hashmini Vahola, Yerotzel. So too, that is one of the reasons why the Bris Milah takes place on the eighth day. There are many, many reasons why the Bris Milah takes place on the eighth day. By the Goyim, they find no reason to do so. They'd like to do it on the third, fourth day. Is that correct, the Fruchter? In the hospitals, those Goyim who do have circumcision, they offer, so they do it right away. They don't wait. They don't wait for 8 days. They do it right away. So why do we wait for 8 days? So there are many reasons, but one of the reasons is because like a carbon come, we have to wait for 8 days. And the reason why we wait a carbon 8 days is the animal should be a little bit, should be a little more healthy.
They don't keep the mothers in the hospital nowadays.
So they have no choice. They got to go before they leave. But sometimes it's too early. I think they have to come back.
If you want to continue on,
I know, but the old one doesn't have it, so maybe better not.
Because you're not going to read anything.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Let's see what happens. We'll see. Okay. Okay, the animal is on the 8th day, so too the Bris Milah must take place on the 8th day. Now, and here he goes further. That is why it is ideal that the father should stand next to the moihel. Just like when you bring a karban, the one who brings the bialim, they stand next to the koyein who brings the karban. V'chol karban tzricham t'haba'olim lamod al ha-karban, kidisa b'tainis, he'ach karbonai sh'odam karach. The Gemara there describes the procedure. How does one bring a karban? V'hu eino omed olav, the Gemara there is this rhetorical question: is he not going to stand on top of the kohen who brings the carbon? Of course, the kohen is his carbon. Heach, therefore tiknu ma'modos ayin sham, and that is why in addition to that, even for the carbon sibur, forget about a carbon yachin. When a person brings a carbon oil, a carbon chatos, the procedure is for the owner to come into the mikdash and to stand there when the kohen brings the carbon. But let's discuss the public carbonus, the carbon of the tzibur, the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben harbayim. It is for this reason that the entire klal yisrael was broken up into 24 groups, and you were part of a group. And twice a year, you would have to spend a week in the beis hamikdash davening. They would fast, and you would daven outside the Beis HaMikdash, in the Ezras Noshim, the entire day, in order that Hashem should accept the korbanos that are being offered by the Kohanim and the Levim. Just like the Kohanim are divided into 24 groups, and the Levim are divided into 24 groups, and they'd alternate, they would rotate throughout the year, so too every Yisrael was part of 24 groups, and would have duty, would have to be called up, you're part of the reserves, you would be miluim, they would have to come and serve in the Beis HaMikdash to be mispal and fast the entire week that Hashem should accept the korbanos. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this is that the person for whom the korban is being offered has to be there. or at least for Klal Yisrael, there has to be representatives for Klal Yisrael. So being that a bris milah is a form of a sacrifice, it's a karban, the father has to be there, has to stand with the kohen. The father can't just say, I'm going to stand in the back, I'm too squeamish, I don't want to go see what's going on. No, you have to be right there next to the moel when he does the bris milah. On a karma, karma chatas, yes. Every karma requires smicha. That's a karma chatas. Karma chatas. On a baby? No, you don't do smicha on the baby. There is no smicha. No, there is.
You get smicha when he's
21. If he's zoichet, they get smicha. Now, there is such a thing, there is such a thing, this very big debate is they tie up the baby. It's by chassidim, they do this. They mamish tie up the baby in a certain way, tie up the legs and the hands, because it's equivalent to the akedah. Akeda and the mamash tie of the baby. They tie of the baby when they do the bris milah. So a lot of doctors, many doctors and many not doctors, strongly object to this practice. They hold this sakonis nefashas. When the baby, during the bris milah, the baby can experience intense pain, and the way to express, to let out the pain is to kick and to let your arms out and to let your legs out. If you're going to restrain the baby, it's true. They hold it, you have to speak only at the moment. Okay, it could be by Hasidim. Some groups of Hasidim, there is an inyan that it's the Akedah, and the Akedah Akar means to be bound. Yitzchak said to Avraham Avinu, "Father, tie me down well, because I might twitch when you do the shechita, and then it will not be a valid kosher shechita, and it will be in waste. So make sure you tie me well." And the Gemara talks, how do you tie? You tie the hand to the leg, you tie the legs to each other. The Gemara has a discussion exactly how exactly an animal should be tied, or how exactly in the Akedah, the way the Akedah, and the Gemara talks about how Avram tied Yitzchak. So Hasidim, they try to reenact this, and they actually tie the baby. They tie the baby in a certain way. Again, a lot of people strongly object to such a practice. You're putting the baby in sakana. The baby needs to be able to express itself, to let out the pain, the tsar, and you don't want to play around with this. But you see, at least from the minog, at kedekach, how far it goes, that we view the bris milah as a karbon. As a karbon, the sandik, Chazal say, it's a medrash, is his legs are acting in the place of the mizbeach. It's an incredible yisod. You become mamish. The legs are the mizbeach, and that's why they go to mikvah, and it's a very big thing to be the sandik. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. We'll see. Just try to finish with halacha. Lamidays neistim es arla b'chol. After the bris milah is done, you take the arla, you put arla in sand, the afer, or in ash, the einu roikikin dam hamitzitza al ha'ofar. Do not spit. So the moel has to let out, the moel who does mitzitza b'peh. So what do you do? So he's going to spit out, he sucks in the blood from the deepest part of the incision to extract the blood. Those who do mitzitza b'peh, so he has to let it out. So where does he spit? So you have a tendency to spit into the sand, into the sand where you put the deposit, the arla. I saw this. I don't know what they do today. I once saw a moil. He had like a plastic cup. Yeah, I'm sand. He actually had sand from a...
Sometimes the mile sends a kid out and says, go get me some dirt.
From dirt, from the street.
Yeah.
From the street,
yeah,
really.
From the garden.
From the garden.
Put it in a cup.
So I saw, so it came like from the beach, real sand, and they put the arla in the sand. So it says that you should not spit the blood into that sand.
No, you
should. You have to have this prepared in advance. If you don't have sinned in advance, so you just can't go outside into the street or outside into the yard, whatever, because it's muksa. If it's not prepared in advance, Merav Shabbos. So then, if you don't have it, you don't have it. So you lost out. So you don't put the arla into the sand. Some sort of even on Shabbos, you never do it because it's a gzera. If you're going to do it this Shabbos, maybe next Shabbos you're going to forget to prepare it, and then you'll be machal Shabbos to get the sand. So says the Hagoyin the Gra. That's, he writes the minigas that if you prepare it's good. Be'efer hamidbar, in the ash of offer hamidbar, in the dust of the desert. That is what it means in the medrash. When Bilam HaKaisim, when he came, raw it's called zeh, it's called call hamidbar. Mileya me arlasan shel yisrael. Yes, the kash, but they didn't do arla. We know Chazal that Bnei Yisrael did not do bris milah in the desert. It refers to Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi were the only ones that were meiser nefesh to bris milah. Because when they came in the time of Yeshua, they came into Eretz Yisrael. It says that Yeshua had to circumcise all of the Jews. So why all of this? So Pasha and Priya. Until now, they did not. They only had milah. Now it was given to them the mitzvah of Priya. So everyone had to do it all over again to do the Priya. But some say no. They just had to do basic milah. Why they didn't do it until now? Because the winds did not blow. It's critical for the refuah, for the healing of the baby, that the wind, the northern wind, should blow. And being that Klal Yisrael was sheltered in the Anane HaKavod, the Anane HaKavod prevented any winds from blowing, so they felt it was dangerous to do a bris milah in the desert, so there was no milah. Shev Levi was Meitzer Nefesh. Even though we don't have available the refuah of the wind blowing, they still were Meitzer Nefesh to do bris milah, and those are the arlos which Bilam saw buried in the sand in the desert. Omar, so that's what Bilam said, Miyuchal Lamoid, who can stand against Bezuchus bris milah? Shehu mechusa beofar shenemar mimon. Who can count offer Yaakov? Means who can count the dust? Meaning who can count the zuchus? Who can go and count the merits of the Jewish people buried in the offer? Mikan amu mechasin es ola v'hadam beofar haaretz ad kan leshoinai. That is the meaning. V'gam b'shabbos. And also someone say, what's the reason? Doesn't really explain over here the reason. That's because of the nachash. The nachash is offer toichal. The curse of the nachash was offer toichal kol yimei chayecha, that because you cause Adam, Adam to sin, be nichshal in the eight sadas, so you no longer will have, you'll be cursed. You're going to eat dust. Chazal say that Adam was born without an arla. When did the arla first grow? After the chait eight sadas, when Adam ate from the chait eight sadas, that caused man to grow, to produce the foreskin. That's what caused there to be the need of a bris milah. The arla represents...
Did he have a bris milah then?
Adam, did he have again? Did he say after this happened, did he do a bris milah?
Did he have to have a bris milah?
I assume he did. I don't know. Adam, Rishon, I don't know. But the arla was nimshach. After the chait, eight sadas, what?
8 days later, which is already... After all these vices, right?
8 days later,
everything on the first day. Everything happened every Shabbos.
Right, yeah.
So if he grew the arla later on, a week later, he had a bris.
Could be. I don't know what it says. And these midrashim are very mystical. But this is what it says, that Adam and the eighth, the chetz, the eighth sadas, it caused the arla to grow. So therefore, in order to remind, and who was punished? The Nachash. The Nachash was punished for what he did to Adam, what he did to Chava and Adam, and therefore his curse was offer toichal kol yimei chayecha. So we bring them together. The reason why we have to do this, we have to remove the arla, is because of the nachash. So you don't want to bring snakes into the shul. You don't want to scare all the children, the adults. It's not like going on a plane, you know, where there are snakes all over the place. It's not exactly a place. Maybe we should have a bris milah on an airplane where all the snakes are. So what do? So we bring the dust, we bring, and therefore we say the reason why there's an arla is because of the nachash, and the curse of the nachash is offer toichal kol yimei chayecha. The gam b'shabbos mutar lo nicha arla b'yafar, and Shabbos you can do this as well. Kevin she'ochza b'yode b'shas achituch, since you're holding it b'shas achituch. Now I don't know what's the chiddush.
Well, you're holding the arla. The arla itself is mutar. So how do you allow to put the arla?
So once already you're holding it's mutter. Once it was mutter. Muksa, the people don't know this halacha. Once you already made a mistake and you're holding muksa in your hand, you can put it down wherever you want. If a person made a mistake and picked up an object that's muksa on shalach, I pick up this tape record, right? So this is klisha malach to le'isa. So you pick it up, you know, it's muksa. Let's say I forget myself, I pick it up. So what is like a hot potato? Mm-hmm. Just drop it. Muksa is like radioactive material on Shabbos. That's the average person assumes that muksa is radioactive material. So you're holding it, you just got to drop it. No, if you already were nichshol in taking our muksa and there's an eruv, so you can go walk. You can go walk 10 miles and go bring the muksa object wherever you want. Once already you picked it up, yeah. Also, by the way, muksa, you're allowed to touch as long as you don't move it. If you have like, let's say, like Shabbos, I can touch this all I want, as long as I don't move it. The prohibition of muksa is moving muksa. There's no prohibition of touching muksa. These are secret halachas that people don't know.
It wasn't muksa before.
Right, so this, it was permitted. The arla, you're cutting it. So it came into your hands, the arla came into your hands, the oif and heter,
right.
Because you're doing the ma'isa mitzvah. So once now it's in my hands, I can put it down wherever I want. Where do I want to put it down? I want to put it down in the dust, in the air, in the sand. So it is mutter. Once already put it down, now you're not allowed. The im hoya hiniach. Let me see what's finished off over here. Okay, you're out of the
gam.
The gam im hiniach or lach. I'll just read. Let me just finish this. There's two more lines. Okay, and then we'll stop. I'll tell you some other things about bris milah in a moment. Arla b'chli. And if you put the arla bichli ala afar, oy beloy afar, osir letalteles akli shenases bosses ledover ha'osa. Aval yanichena ado erbe mekoyma kemashakasa bezorechaim sim shim yudud. I am shown in tiltah zemel yispar besim reish samach zayin. So he says that once you put the arla in this cup, in this utensil, which has the sand or the earth, you're not allowed to move it for the rest of Shabbos. So be careful where you set this up. Yeah?
So this is a standard.
Yes. Yes.
I never looked at what they do.
You just remember those shoes.
You put on the floor in the corner. What did they do with the cup?
On Shabbos?
No, on Shabbos.
It's not so common to have it in a shul. Most of the time they have it in the house on Shabbos.
Right.
Depends.
During the week, right?
Yeah, the moil comes with sand.
Sand.
A little teeny thing. They have sand, little cup of sand. They cut the arla and they put the arla in the sand, and they throw it in the garbage. And then they throw it in the garbage. Yeah, that's it. Now I'll tell you. Okay, once I'll tell you over here. I have over here. Okay, so that's the end of this. And now what about the knife? The knife, the moil that has all of the kalim on Shabbos. That's not so posh. The moil comes all of his kalim to cut. So it's muksa machmas chesar and kiss. You don't use the average kitchen knife.
Specialized knife.
You're not going to use it in the kitchen. You can't say, oh, it's not muksa because I can use it to cut vegetables. I can use it for the cholent, right? You're not going to go use the knife you use the bris milah for the cholent. Mm-hmm. So it's a klish shem muksa machmas chisaron kis inachanami. So once the moil finishes doing the procedure, he has to be very careful where he puts down his kelim because they indeed are going to be muksa for the remainder of Shabbos. So during the weekday, it's no big deal. You go and you do it and you throw it in the garbage. But on Shabbos, so you have to be careful where you're going to set up this little teeny thing of sin, because once you do it, once you put it down, you're not allowed to move. So it's the middle of a shul, right in front of the rabbi's seat. Like, right? So you put it right in front of the rabbi's seat. So when the rabbi comes to give his drasha of mincha, oh, I have to now move. Why do you say Yashu Koyach to the Kohanim on the Sholosh Regalim? Isn't that a minigan shul, right? When the Kohanim, they finish doing duchening. So the Yashu Koyach. Why is it Yashu Koyach? Why?
You kick everybody off the Mizrach.
You clean out the Mizrach. You clean out the Mizrach. Who sits in the Mizrach? All the Gevirim, the Rabbanim, right? If you want to clean out the Mizrach, you don't have a chance. To go and tell all the rich people to get out of shul, to tell the rabbi you don't want him to be the rabbi anymore. The kohanim, they come up to the mizrach, and all the people in the mizrach, they clean out, they leave.
No, he says you could, because he puts on his shoes.
So you say yashakoyach for cleaning out all those people in the front. We couldn't do it. You don't get the joke. You don't get it. You just don't get it. What can I tell you, rabbi? Okay, you don't get it. Is the moil allowed after? So on Shabbos, they have to, of course, but not on Shabbos. Shabbos, you have to wait until unless you have another bris mila. Unless you have another bris mila, so then you really can. Okay, now unfortunately, I apologize. There's only a few minutes anyway, so let me by just a hashgach. But for the third part, I want to do with you a couple of things from the Sefer, the Oitzer Pilos. Remember this? Last year we did some of this. This is the third volume on Chumash VaYikra. So we never went through Chumash Tazria Mitzora. I just wanted to run through some interesting things about the Parsha. But one of the things that he has about the Parsha is Bris Milah. Because it's B'vayoyim HaShmini Yimol B'sar Arlasar. So let me tell you some things, which I didn't prepare this part, but I just marked off. So let me see if I have anything over here that I can just quickly, in the 5 minutes, tell you to be mashlim for shud. We shouldn't waste the time not to learn. Tell you about Bris Milah. Okay, there are some very bizarre things about Bris Milah he has over here. Okay. One thing is, there is such a skula, is that is a whole shan halacha. Are you allowed to eat the arla?
Eat the arla.
Yeah, eat the arla. Is it mos? Because supposedly there are people out there, not me, who believe that there's a skula. It's a very big skula. It's a skula to eat the arla. It's mos. Lo tishakasu. Lo tishakasu. You're not allowed to do things which are detestable. So this is a very big shayla. A very big shayla. This just okay. Another interesting thing is, what about a child that's born on Shabbos? Okay, a child is such a thing. This is a fascinating thing. Is a child Isa right? Besecht the Shabbos. Isa bin Kosoi shel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This is Gemara Besecht the Shabbos. And his notebook Kaya Kosov Shmi Shani Shenoilad b'Shabbos Gam Yomus b'Shabbos. Would you believe such a thing? Someone who is born on Shabbos will die on Shabbos. For whom Yishum Shechilo Yalaves Hashabbos Kishenoilad Shehaleida Kerucha B'Chol Shabbos. Ulechin Yomus Gam B'Shabbos. The Rabbi Shila Omar the Kadisha Rabba Yiskar. I'm not sure what that means exactly. Is it a milah to be born on Shabbos? The Gemara Sefer Chasidim writes a person should be mispalel if his wife is pregnant, that she should not give birth on Shabbos. There should not be chil Shabbos, because being born on Shabbos chil Shabbos, and the bris mila involves chil Shabbos. So it's not necessarily a milah for a person to be born on Shabbos. Okay, that's an interesting topic. There were three.
Who was born on Shabbos?
How about a woman? The woman is born on Shabbos?
Well, it's also Chil Shabbos when she's born. Part of being born on Shabbos involves Chil Shabbos.
So there's Chil Shabbos anyway.
But we mentioned a meal is done on the eighth day. So he presented one reason, the reason why it's like a carbon. He writes over here other reasons why it's done. Everyone, the most popular reason is because that the husband and wife should be permitted with one another. In our Torah, the Isser Nida is only 7 days. So a woman that gives birth, she's a Nida. So on the eighth day, she's no longer a Nida. Now today, that doesn't apply because today there are so many layers of Chumrah. A woman who gives birth would not be permitted to her husband for multiple days, for a very long time. But since Minat Torah, a woman will be permitted to her husband 8 days later, that is why every day they should be in a state of Simcha. Okay, then the idea of a carbon. I'm just trying to recall over here some other things. Yeah, some spooky stuff here about that the moil is supposed to take the blood of the mila and is supposed to write with it. Right. Shakai. Would you believe Shakai. This? Shakai, to write Hashem's name. These are all very strange things. Very strange things. Let me just see if I have something else over here. All right, we'll stop with this, all right? We'll take a short break, and then we will do some things that I prepared, okay, from this Sefer and Parashas Tazria Mitzrayim. Take a very short break, 2-minute break.